Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. It is hot, 81 right now. Great to have you with us on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. Well, the juice is loose. A parole board in Nevada today voting to allow O.J. Simpson out of prison this fall. We'll hear from a private investigator that knows all about O.J. Simpson. He wrote a book titled O.J. is Innocent and I Can Prove It. We'll try to figure that out. Also, we'll hear from an MSU professor who wrote a book about Detroit. This weekend, the 50th anniversary of the Detroit riots. We'll talk about what the city and state might be like if they never even occurred. But let's begin with the effort to pass healthcare legislation out of the U.S. Senate. We're now seeing a real strong effort to get that through potentially next week, and some analysts saying it will, in fact, pass. Danny O'Connell with us, a health insurance expert at nextlevel.agency. Danny, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me back, Michael.
Yeah, is this good news for us as a country if they actually get this through the Senate?
It is, and you know what? The big fight about here is you have people on opposite ends of the spectrum. So some that are saying, okay, we've got to do something and get something in the right direction. And what's in the Senate now absolutely would help with rates. It would help with access. It would help lower cost.
Mm-hmm.
But the other end is saying, okay, this isn't far enough. We want a complete total overhaul and to fix it.
Okay. But what about these reports that we'll see 20 million more Americans without insurance if this gets through?
Just label that as fake news. It drives me nuts because what they're doing is they're sitting there saying, you know, under Obamacare, we were all promised you can keep your health plan. You're not going to lose it. What this would do is this would create new options for you that would be less affordable. So individuals would have the option now to say, okay, well, I could buy something in my state, or I could buy something across state lines, or I could stay in a high-risk pool. So it doesn't mean that people are going to lose their health plan. It means that new options would be available to where people that have these Obamacare plans now probably wouldn't want to keep them and could get something better.
Okay. So would that mean people are going to have to be more proactive about getting their insurance moving forward?
You would see the market open tremendously. People have many more options and be able to start getting costs down.
Okay. Now, in terms of the costs coming down, what convinces you that's going to happen?
Yeah, so the easiest thing to point to, and this was something that when I was working with Congressman Sessions on his health care bill, was looking at this age-banded restriction. And they sat there and said, well, no American should pay three times more what another American pays. And if a healthy 25-year-old pays $150, then a 64-year-old should pay $450. Great in theory. Mm-hmm. Reality, who signs up? People who are older who have health conditions. So if in actuality it costs $1,000 a month to insure a 64-year-old, now a 25-year-old is paying $333. Guess what? Young, healthy people don't sign up because their rates just double.
So what does this Senate plan do then for that?
The first thing it would do, it would implement a 5-to-1 age band. So now, and you know, you can make numbers show anything, and I saw the other side kind of showing how this would blow up rates. What it would do is it would say, okay, well, if it costs $1,000 a month to insure a 64-year-old, that 25-year-old, now their rates would drop from $333 down to $200 a month.
Or the young people would have their rates remain the same, and older folks would have their rates go up dramatically, right? That's the other potential?
That's the other argument, but that's not accurate because the younger people aren't signing up for insurance, right? They're not going to sign up if you increase their premiums even more. Mm-hmm. And what they said is, okay, well, if it's $333 for a 25-year-old, then we're going to multiply the older person by a factor of 5 and move it to $1,665. The idea is we hold, you know, the older individuals, they're probably going to pay about the same, but then in the short term. Mm-hmm. But then as you ease rates on people 35 and younger, you get more people in, healthier people in, you get the pool larger, and over time, rates start coming down on everybody.
Talking to Danny O'Connell, health insurance expert Danny O'Connell here on 1320 WILS. Why do you think Republicans are having such a hard time getting this through, then?
Yeah, so one of the things is they have transparency. You know, if you look at the original health care bill, it was rammed through. Nobody got to read it. Nobody knew what was in it. And the vast majority of the bill was subject to the discretion of the Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. it was a blank bill that President Obama could sit there and do whatever he wanted with. So nobody even, we didn't see what was in it. And then when it was passed, there wasn't really even much to react to. Here, you have more transparency. People are saying, okay, these are the key things that we want to fix in this. And you've got the other side, you know, again, you've got people spectrum saying, I want the whole thing scrapped and brand new, or we want to ease what we have in place, or you have the fear mongering on the other side that's like, everybody's going to lose their coverage. And
this is essentially the repeal, right? Just so we don't have the replace really clear at this point?
Well, if you remember right when President Trump took office, within the first week or two, just like he said, he was going to address this, and he did. And that one of the first debates they said is, okay, let's look at shifting states or even a regional co-op situation for smaller states versus doing the federal. And that's the debate, and that's in here. It's, okay, let's open this up so that you can start purchasing more across state lines, have access to other plans. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see more things go back to the states, which for a lot of people is going to make it more affordable than what it is today.
Yeah, but that also leaves a lot of unpredictability, does it not?
There's some, but once you start opening up the market to individuals, you get competition. Right now, we've driven everybody out of the market, and that's what they talked about in Nevada and even here in Texas, and I know in other states, and even in New York. Insurance companies have just folded, gotten out of the business altogether, so nobody has any options. Mm-hmm. Well, if you start opening up the market and start opening up options to people, then you do have that ability to go out and shop and lower your cost. Mm. The other really important thing I just want to point out quickly is everybody's afraid of this pre-existing condition issue. It was a popular political flag to wave. Before the Affordable Care Act, you could go and get employer-sponsored coverage through where you worked, and normally there's no pre-existing conditions if you hadn't gone without coverage for an extended period of time. Or you could go get an individual policy, which you would qualify medically for, and you could get a lower rate. Well, if you had no employer and you had no access to individual policy due to a pre-existing condition, each state and region actually had a high-risk pool. So if somebody came to me, I could sign them up immediately and get them coverage that day, everything covered, good PPO group-type network, and it was less expensive than what we're in today.
So you're saying that's a complete fallacy that people were not able to get coverage because of pre-existing conditions?
Correct. It was just the knowledge and the media took it and ran with it that, oh, we want everybody to be covered for pre-existing conditions. That sounds great. It makes great sound bites. But in reality, that drives up premium on everybody else who doesn't have one, when in reality, there were options available for those individuals.
Are you saying we're going to go back to those pools again for pre-existing conditions?
Yes, sir. We would potentially see that come back.
Mm-hmm. And that now, if this doesn't happen, if this does fail, doesn't get through, what's your prognosis then?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't want to see us continue to remain in a situation that doesn't work. I do think that there are going to be some minor fringe health care bills that are going to be passed, things that have to do around the health savings accounts. We do expect some movement there. With regard to the health care reform, there's going to have to be some type of executive order or something that they can do to either extend or buy people time. Otherwise, this is going to rapidly deteriorate, and you know, then we're going to be back to ground zero with this thing.
Danny O'Connell, health insurance expert Danny O'Connell, and you're at nextlevel.agency, right? Is that where folks can find you?
That's it.
Nextlevel.agency, Danny O'Connell, right here on WILS. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Yep.